This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Okay, Chelsea, it's been a while since we talked about plastics, I'm sure, having basically talked about them a lot, but, you know. This article came on January 8th of 2025. It's on The Guardian, written by Carrie Gillum. Article title, Health Experts Rally for Call to Arms to Protect Children from Toxic Chemicals. Children are suffering and dying from diseases that emerging scientific research has linked to chemical exposures, findings that require urgent revamping of laws around the world, according to a new paper published on Wednesday in the New England Journal of Medicine. Authored by more than 20 leading public health researchers, including one from the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and another from the United Nations, the paper lays out, quote, a large body of evidence, end quote, linking multiple childhood diseases to synthetic chemicals and recommends a series of aggressive actions to try to better protect children. The paper is a call to arms to forge an actual commitment to the health of our children, said Linda Birnbaum, former director of the U.S. National Institute of Environmental Health, Science, and co-author of the paper. In conjunction with the release of the paper, some of the study authors are helping launch an Institute for Preventative Health to support the recommendations outlined in the paper to help fund implementation of reforms. A key player in launching the Institute is Ann Robertson, Vice President of Robertson Stevens Wealth Management and a member of the family that built R.J. Reynolds Tobacco. Interesting.
That is interesting.
The paper points to data showing global inventories of roughly 350,000 synthetic chemical mixtures and plastics, most of which are derived from fossil fuels. Production has expanded 50-fold since 1950 and is currently increasing by about 3% a year, projected to triple by 2050, the paper states. Meanwhile, non-communicable diseases, including many that research shows can be caused by synthetic chemicals, are rising in children and have become the principal cause of death and illness for children, the authors write. Despite the connections, which the authors say, quote, continue to be discovered with distressing frequency, end quote, there are very few restrictions on such chemicals and no post-market surveillance for longer-term adverse health effects. Quote, the evidence is so overwhelming and the effects of manufactured chemicals are so disruptive for children that inaction is no longer an option, end quote, said Danielle Mandrioli, a co-author of the paper and director of the Cesare Maltoni Cancer Research Center at the Ramazzini Institute in Italy. Quote, our article highlights the necessity for a paradigm shift in chemical testing and regulations to safeguard children's health, end quote. Such a shift would require changes in laws, restructuring of the chemical industry, and redirection of financial investments similar to what has been undertaken with efforts to transition to clean energy, the paper states. Yeah, and that's going so well.
Yeah.
The paper identifies several disturbing data points for trend lines over the last 50 years. They include the incidence of childhood cancers up 35%.
Holy shit.
Male reproductive birth defects have doubled in frequency and neurodevelopmental disorders are affecting 1 in 6 children. Autism spectrum disorder is diagnosed in 1 in 36 children. Pediatric asthma has tripled in prevalence and pediatric obesity prevalence has nearly quadrupled, driving a, quote, sharp increase in type 2 diabetes among children and adolescents, end quote. Quote, children's health has been slipping away as a priority focus, end quote, said Tracy Woodruff, a co-author of the paper and director of the University of California San Francisco's program on reproductive health and the environment, quote. quote, "We've slowly just been neglecting this. The clinical and public health community and the government has failed them," end quote. The authors cite research documenting how, quote, "even brief, low-level exposures to toxic chemicals during early vulnerable periods," end quote, in a child's development can cause disease and disability. Prenatal exposure are particularly hazardous, the paper states. Quote, "Diseases caused by toxic chemical exposures in childhood can lead to massive economic losses, including healthcare expenditures and productivity losses resulting from the reduced cognitive function, physical disabilities, and premature death. The chemical industry largely externalizes these costs and imposes them on the governments and taxpayers," end quote, the paper notes. The paper takes issue with the U.S. Toxic Substances Control Act of 1977 and amendments arguing that even though the law was enacted to protect public health from, quote, "unreasonable risk," end quote, posed by chemicals, it does not provide the Environmental Protection Agency with the authorities needed to actually meet that commitment. Instead, the manner in which the law is implemented assumes that all manufactured chemicals are harmless and beneficial and burdens government regulators with identifying and assessing the chemicals. Quote, "Hazards that have been recognized have typically been ignored or downplayed, and the responsible chemicals allowed to remain in use with no or limited restrictions. In nearly 50 years since the TSCA's passage, only a handful of chemicals have been banned or restricted in U.S. markets," end quote, the paper states. Chemical oversight is more rigorous in the European Union, the paper says, but still fails to provide adequate protection, relying heavily on testing data provided by the chemical industry and providing multiple exemptions, the paper argues. The authors of the paper prescribe a new global precautionary approach that would only allow chemical products on the market if the manufacturers could establish through independent testing that the chemicals are not toxic at anticipated exposure levels. Quote, "The core of our recommendation is that chemicals should be tested before they come to market. They should not be presumed to be innocent, only to be found to be harmful years and decades later," end quote, said Phil Landrigan, a co-author who directs the Program for Global Public Health and the Common Good at Boston College. Quote, "Each and every chemical should be tested before they come to market," end quote. Additionally, companies would be required to conduct post-marketing surveillance to look for long-term adverse effects for their products. That could include biomonitoring of the most prevalent chemical exposures to the general population, Mandrioli said. Disease registries would play another fundamental role, he said, but those approaches should be integrated with toxicological studies that can anticipate and rapidly predict effects that might have very long latencies in humans, such as cancer. Clusters of populations with increased cancer incidences, particularly when they are children, should trigger immediate preventative actions, he said. Key to it all would be a legally binding global chemicals treaty that would fall under the auspices of the United Nations and would require a, quote, "permanent independent science policy body to provide expert guidance," end quote, the paper suggests. The paper recommends chemical companies and consumer product companies be required to disclose information about the potential risks of the chemicals in use and report on inventory and usage of chemicals of, quote, "high concern," end quote. Quote, "Pollution by synthetic chemicals and plastics is a major planetary challenge that is worse rapidly. Continued unchecked increases in production of fossil carbon-based chemical endangers the world's children and threatens humanity's capacity for reproduction. Inaction on chemicals is no longer an option," end quote, the paper states. Landrigan said he knew the effort faces an uphill battle and could be particularly challenging given the incoming Trump administration, which is widely expected to favor deregulation policies. Quote, "This is a tough subject. It's an elephant in the room," he said, "but it's what needs to be done," end quote. End
wow,
article.
What a note to leave that on.
Chelsea, what do you think?
That's exactly
of that?
What I was thinking. Yeah. What about the corporations?
I know.
What about them? How are they going to make their money?
It's particularly... Yeah, and that's, I always, as a society, we generally, I'm sure we've brought this up several times on the podcast, we privatize the profits and then we socialize the actual detriment of the product. We don't actually expect somebody who makes a lot of money off it to bear the brunt of fixing the problems it
No,
creates.
Because that affects their bottom line, and like, we would never want to fuck with that.
And importantly, line needs to go up. That's like the one rule of our entire system.
It has to. We all must die for it to go up. I spoke too soon. We must not die. We need to still buy their products.
but we need to be willing to die for
it. Yeah, we do. I think that sums it up perfectly.
It's unspoken, but it is definitely
I think we can say that that is corporatism, not corporatism. What's the word that I'm looking
for? Oh, it's late stage capitalism.
Yeah, yeah, that's at its finest. We're willing to die for it.
Yeah, and this is particularly well-timed with the incoming Trump administration, which I believe will be in office once this episode comes out.
Yep. I mean, I don't think that we're going to be very far behind them with a conservative running.
With Polyev? Yeah.
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 Happy
but I did not know there was, it looks like, plastic and chemical guideline legislation in the works behind the scenes, at least at certain levels. That is great. I know we've seen it with plastic pollution. There's groups for that are pushing for regulation.
Yeah. I mean, it would be nice, but I mean, the corporations are the ones that have all the money for all the lobbying and all of that stuff to be able to. It's not corporations that are pushing for regulation. Let's be honest. And there where all the power is, unfortunately. And you're right. That was a sad article. And they put it in children.
Yeah. Can you imagine, though? It's such a fundamental, simple answer to the issue is you have to be able to come before you put your product out to market and say, like, hey, here's everything that's in it. None of these show detrimental long-term impact on children.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's a pretty low bar to be able to bring something to market.
And you know what? That's probably the more expensive option.
Oh, it's way more expensive.
Therefore, that's not the option that they're going with, because who gives a fuck?
Yeah. So, yeah, sorry to be cynical this early in the year.
We're not human, so. Oh, yeah. Oh, you got me fired up here now.
And especially with, like, RFK Jr. in the Trump administration being in charge of vaccines now, basically. You don't need to look at vaccines for autism. Like, we already know that the study that found autism was connected with vaccines is very widely panned. The guy got his medical license taken away because it was so badly done.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He, basically, it was people who thought...
Melba Ketchum scene.
It was basically Melba's Ketchum scene. I'm sure he consulted with her, but no.
And he put out a few romance novels on
it. Basically, he selected parents for the study who thought the vaccine caused autism in their children.
What?
Yeah.
That's the stupidest thing I've heard.
Yeah, and that's how he came to the conclusion that vaccines cause autism.
Okay. That seems scientific.
Yeah, scientific enough to get your license taken away. Anyhow, like, you can find the link in so many things, including plastic, which has escalated in the amount that's in contact with us and all these chemicals. But he's for deregulation, which is the stupidest thing if you actually care about health.
Yeah, Trump. Yeah.
RFK Jr., sorry, not Trump. Yeah. They're both anti-regulation, but I was talking about RFK Jr. in that situation.
Yeah.
But I will always say, and I will stand on this hill, regulation is generally good. You might find a few fringe things here or there, but, like, this is regulation to stop kids from dying of cancer.
Regulation
that we would like to put in.
For the most part, pretty good when it comes to most things, I think.
Well, and for the most part, the reason the regulation's there is because somebody died.
Yeah, well, you need control of most situations, or else you get people running rampant, taking advantage of something that's not showing outlines of how it needs to be done. And it's not just with plastic. Like, even regulation when it comes to drugs and stuff like that is a good thing.
The food that we eat every day.
Yeah.
Like, whenever you hear there's a recall because there was E. coli in something, that is actually the regulation working and forcing these companies to recall their food because it could kill somebody.
Fuck those guys.
And just remember, if there's no regulation, then you're putting a company in place, a company whose first incentive is profit, to dictate whether or not something should be put to market.
Yeah.
And they will always choose the profitable option.
Why wouldn't
just like
they?
Us. Drink to the fringe.
Yes. What a way to start our Wednesday. Angry and sad.
And with that, you guys got 48 hours. Send us money. It's the most profitable option for us at the moment. Anyhow, we'll tell you how much money we get in 48 hours. Bye.